please take your Bibles and open with me to Psalm 134. It's the last song in our series on the Psalms of Ascent. We started way back in January 1st with Psalm 120, and for the last 15 weeks, we've taken one psalm a week, and now we're to the final song in the Psalms of Ascent. Last song is also the shortest of all the Psalms of Ascent. It's the shortest of all of them. It's the second shortest psalm in the entire Bible. Only Psalm 117 is shorter. Now, along the way, we've learned that these Psalms of Ascent were originally sung by travelers who were journeying to Jerusalem for the great feast. So I think it's very appropriate that here we are on Palm Sunday, and now we come to this last Psalm of Ascent, which would have been sung by the people probably as they were just arriving in Jerusalem for the feast and certainly for the Passover feast. And that's where the crowd was arriving for on Palm Sunday in preparation for the Passover. We read in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 11, verse 11, that on Palm Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. And he looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So it was Sunday night, the triumphal entry was over, the crowd had dispersed. It was late, it was nighttime, but Jesus came and visited the temple anyways. Remember, this was the whole reason you made that journey to Jerusalem, was to go to the temple and to worship God there. The temple may not have been open for business at this time of night, but it was certainly open for worship. There was always worship going on at the temple. So Jesus visited the temple at night, and interestingly, as we get into Psalm 134, our psalm for this morning, we're going to see that it is an evening psalm. It's a psalm which brings us into the temple at night also, when the priests and the Levites are still offering up praise and worship to the Lord. It reminds us that we are on a journey with God every day, and that from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Psalm 113, verse 3. We've called our message series Stepping Stones to God's Heart. And that's because we've been looking at how these psalms, these 15 psalms together, help us on our journey as we draw closer to God in our walk with Him. And as we come to this final psalm, Psalm 134, it's really a blessing or a benediction to the whole Psalms of Ascent. And when you reach this final psalm, it's like you've reached the top of the mountain. You're at the very highest step. You can't go any higher than this. And this is the whole reason why you made this journey to begin with. This is the goal of your journey as a Christian: to bless God and be blessed by God. Blessing and blessed. That is what we will be doing as believers for all of eternity. That's what God calls us to do every day here on earth. So we're in Psalm 134, and if you'll stand with me now for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 134, a song of ascents. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we dive into these verses now, it's a short psalm, Lord, but full of meaning. Holy Spirit, take your words and apply them to our hearts and our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, the title of our message this morning is Blessing and Blessed. And I'd like to begin with the question, what does it actually mean to bless the Lord? To bless the Lord. Because the word that's translated praise, there in verses 1 and 2, I've got it highlighted on the screen there for you. The same word that's translated praise in verses 1 and 2, it's the same word that's also translated bless in verse 3. In fact, you could even translate it as bless in all three places. Some Bible translations do that. Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. The word bless is a word which literally means to kneel or to bow down. And you might be wondering, well, how does that work when we're talking about us blessing God and then especially God blessing us? Because, you know, obviously God doesn't kneel or bow down to us. That wouldn't make any sense. And here's the difference. When we bless God, yes, we kneel. We bow down before Him in worship. When God blesses us, He reaches down. He reaches down to take care of us and our needs. And so we bless God by praising Him for who He is and what He has done. God blesses us by loving us and providing for us. And that's what Psalm 134 is all about. Blessing God and being blessed by God. The life that blesses God is a life that is blessed by God. And you can break the whole psalm down really into two basic sentences. They're on the outline in your bulletin if you'd like to take that out to follow along or take notes. You can break down to two statements. May you bless the Lord, and may the Lord bless you. And it's really that simple. So let's begin with that first part. May you bless the Lord. We see this in verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. And the first instruction here is simply praise God. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. You might be wondering, well, who are these servants of the Lord? Well, in this psalm, in the context of the original psalm, this would be the priests and the Levites who ministered in the temple. And notice that these particular servants are those who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Once again, this is an evening psalm. We know from the scriptures that the Levites in particular praised the Lord in the temple both day and night. For example, in the Old Testament, we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 33, those who were musicians, heads of Levite families, stayed in the rooms of the temple. And they were exempt from other duties because they were responsible for the work day and night. They had rooms set aside for them so they could stay there. And all night long they could offer up praise and worship to the Lord. We read again in 1 Chronicles 23, verse 30, about the Levites. They were to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and they were to do the same in the evening. But even though this instruction was initially given to those ministering in the temple, it's really an instruction for all of us today, isn't it? As believers today, we are all servants of the Lord. In fact, we are all priests of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says that you, as a believer, you are a royal priesthood. You are a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. And so as believers in Jesus Christ, we are all priests in God's kingdom, and we are all called, like the priests and the Levites, to declare His praises, to lift God's praises up to Him. All God's people should praise Him. And not only that, but all God's people should praise Him at all times. Now, earlier in the Psalms of Ascent, we've seen how all of these psalms build and interlock and relate to each other, but earlier in the Psalms of Ascent, we looked at Psalm 126. We looked at verse 5 that said, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Psalm 126, 5. And the whole psalm was talking about how that, you know, even during the nighttime, the difficult times, we saw how Psalm 30, verse 5 related to that. Weeping may remain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Even during the difficult times of tears and sorrow, God has a blessing waiting for you. And morning is coming as sure as the sun. Once again, as we look and see how far we've come in the progression of these psalms, now instead of the nighttime being a time of weeping, we get to Psalm 134, and even the night is full of praises. All God's people should praise Him, and all God's people should praise Him at all times. And then the next instruction is to lift up your hands in worship and prayer. Look at verse 2 with me now. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. And lifting up your hands in the scriptures, that's something that is always associated with worship and with prayer. It adds a very visual and physical element to your worship and prayer. It's a very beautiful way to worship God. And if you've never done it, if you've always wondered, I don't know, I feel kind of shy about that. Isn't that for other people to do that? If you've never tried it, let me encourage you to try it. You know, maybe not right here right away, but you know, maybe at, you know, at home when you're praying to God, I encourage you, just lift up your hands and praise and worship to the Lord. We often use physical gestures in other areas of life to express our emotions. For example, if you're watching a sporting event and your team scores the winning play, what do? You leap up and give a fist pump in the air, right? You're so excited. You don't think about it. You don't sit there and say, my team just won the Super Bowl. I think I will now take my fingers and curl them up into a fist, and I will bring it down and I will release. Like that. No, it's just automatic. It's like, whoa, the emotion's there and the body follows, right? And that's the way it is sometimes in worship. Sometimes we lift up our hands in prayer because our heart is already lifted before God. And we rightly get caught up in the emotion. Our emotions should be engaged in praise and worship of God. But then there are also those times when maybe you don't feel like praying. Your heart's just not in it. Maybe you're distracted for whatever reason. And the heart, the emotions aren't there. That is also an excellent time for you to lift up your hands in worship and prayer. See, sometimes it's your heart that lifts your hands. It's kind of automatic. But sometimes your hands can help your heart. That's what John Calvin was saying when he spoke about this verse. He said, "Why do men lift their hands when they pray? Is it not that their hearts may be raised at the same time to God?" And so I find that helpful sometimes if I'm dry spiritually and having a hard time entering into worship. I just lift my hands to God. And very often I find that my heart follows. When you lift up your hands before God, you are opening yourself up to Him. You're confessing your need for Him, your dependence upon Him. And then here's an aspect that we don't often think about. You are also offering yourself for inspection. We read in Psalm 24 these words: "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." We're talking about the Psalms of ascent, stepping stones to God's heart, drawing closer to God, ascending to the Lord. And what does Psalm 24 says? Who may actually do that? Who may ascend to the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And you might be wondering, you might be saying, "Well, that's not me. I can't lift up my hands to God then because I've sinned against God. My hands are not clean. My heart is not pure. How can I lift my hands before the Lord?" You see, that's the beauty of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Because when you put your faith in Christ as Savior, what does God do? He forgives your sin. He washes you clean. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And so you can actually lift up your hands before the Lord. Why? Because you are clean in Christ. Now, we've mentioned how all of these psalms work together. I want us to bounce back to Psalm 130 for a moment. And there's a reason Psalm 130 comes before Psalm 134 in the Psalms of Ascent. And that's because Psalm 130 was a psalm that was all about forgiveness. And we read in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 130, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand?" He's saying, "Lord, if you kept a record of all my sins, if all of my sins are still on me, I could never stand in your sanctuary. I could not lift up my hands before you in the sanctuary. But with you there is forgiveness. And therefore you are feared, you are worshipped, O Lord." You see, you need God's forgiveness and God's cleansing before you can lift up your hands in the sanctuary. And that forgiveness only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. But once you are forgiven, you are also clean. You are clean. That's why Paul can write to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:8, where he says, "I want men, people everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing." Your forgiveness and your cleansing in Christ is so complete that you can not only lift up your hands in the sanctuary, but the Bible says you can enter all of you, your whole body, soul, and spirit, enter the very presence of God through Jesus your Savior. And we read these amazing words in Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 19 through 22. It says, "Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place," and we'll talk about what that is in a minute, confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. "Since we have that confidence, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith." And here it is now, "having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience." There's the pure heart. "Having our bodies washed with pure water." There are the clean hands. In the Old Testament, there's only one person who could enter the most holy place. And that was the high priest. And the high priest could only do that one day a year on the Day of Atonement. But Hebrews tells us that now a way has been opened up for you through Christ's death on the cross. You've been washed clean in Christ, and you may approach God with confidence, in full assurance of your faith, with your hands lifted high, saying, God, it's not in my righteousness, but it's in Christ's righteousness that I come before you. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. So that's the first part of our psalm. May you bless the Lord. And then the second part, may the Lord bless you. Look at verse 3 with me now. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. And the you in that verse is singular. So I like that. It means that it's not, although yes, it's addressed to all the people of God, it's also addressed to each one of us individually. But this is a blessing for each individual who has trusted Christ as their Savior. As we study this psalm, most people who studied it believe that the original psalm probably worked as a call and response. That the first two verses, the people would have called out those verses to the priests and the Levites in the temple. And they would have said, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. You who minister by night in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. And then the priests and the Levites would respond and they would say, yes, and may the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. It would have been a beautiful interchange between people and ministers in the temple. But however it worked, how appropriate that this psalm, and indeed the whole Psalms of Ascent, ends not with us blessing God, but it ends with God blessing us. It is God's blessing that makes our blessing possible in the first place. It is God's grace that allows us to draw near to his presence. And in this final blessing, this final benediction, there are two things that we should remember about God. First of all, remember who God is. Remember who God is. Who is this God who blesses you? He is the maker of heaven and earth. He is your creator and the creator of all things. Now, we've seen this description of God as the maker of heaven and earth. We've seen that twice before in the Psalms of Ascent, and we've made note of it each time. We saw it once near the beginning, Psalm 121, verse 2. We saw it again more towards the middle, Psalm 124, verse 8. And now once more here at the end, Psalm 134, verse 3. So this is a very important description of who God is. The life that blesses God is a life that is blessed by God. And who is this God who blesses you? He is the maker of heaven and earth. So remember who God is. And then secondly, remember where God's blessing is found. And so Psalm 134, and indeed, once again, the whole Psalms of Ascent ends with this phrase, may the Lord bless you from Zion. We've looked at that word Zion a number of times. It's a major theme throughout all of the Psalms of Ascent. And we've seen that Zion represents Mount Zion, and Mount Zion represents Jerusalem, which represents the temple, which represents the place where God meets with his people. And so when we see Zion, we need to think, where does God meet with his people? That's Zion, and that is where God's blessing is found. And so Zion is here this morning. As we meet with God, with his people, may God bless you from Zion, where he meets with his people. Ultimately, Zion represents heaven, where we will be with God and his people forever. We see this in Hebrews chapter 12. It talks about heaven in terms of three things: Zion, Jerusalem, and the people of God. The same three things we're talking about here. Hebrews 12, verses 22 and 23 says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. And you've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. The book of Hebrews also tells us that when Jesus ascended to heaven, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. He is there even now, and he prays for us as his people. We read in Hebrews 7 that Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Clean hands and a pure heart, saved completely. Why? Because he always lives to pray or intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Jesus ascended to heaven first. Why? So that he could pray for us and so that he could bless us from the heavenly Zion. And because Jesus ascended, that means we also can ascend to God through prayer and worship during our time here on earth and eventually in the very presence of God when we die and go to be with him. God's blessing starts from Zion. May God bless you from Zion. But then it goes wherever you go. Why? Because he is the maker of heaven and earth, and the whole earth belongs to him. And so his blessing is not just for heaven, but it's for every day that you live here on earth as well. And so ends the Psalms of Ascent. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. This final psalm closes out the Psalms of Ascent by teaching us that the life that blesses God, that is a life that is blessed by God. And the very act of praising God, that is a blessing in itself, plus God promises to add his own blessing to it. And people, our entire lives are meant to be worship. Every thought, every word, every action done to the glory of God. As Christians, we are called to live a life that brings praise and honor and blessing to God. And when we do so, we will also know God's blessing on our lives. You know, when you go mountain climbing, you get to the top of the mountain, what's the first thing you do? You turn around and you look to see how far you've come, right? You go, wow, I remember way down there, you know, 4 or 5 hours ago. Look where we are now. Well, when we do that with the Psalms of Ascent, we look way back to Psalm 120. Way back to January 1st when we started this series. Psalm 120, what was that psalm all about? The psalmist was in a faraway land, far from Jerusalem, far from God, far from God's people, surrounded by the ungodly. Psalm 120, the psalmist was basically saying, this world is not my home. Then he began his journey, and he ends here in Psalm 134, safely at home with God and with his people. And that's our journey as well. And along the way, we've learned from the other Psalms very important lessons of trust and dependence, perseverance and faith, forgiveness and humility, unity and blessing. Perhaps the best summary of this Psalm are simply the words from the hymn. We sing it every Sunday. We sang it earlier today. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, that's you blessing God, right? From whom all blessings flow, that's God blessing you. You see, the life that blesses God is a life that is blessed by God. And so let us bless the Lord this Palm Sunday and every Sunday and every day of our lives. And as the people called out to Jesus on that first Palm Sunday on the road to Jerusalem, approaching for the great Passover feast, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, what a beautiful psalm. What a beautiful series of psalms. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word and giving us words to approach you in prayer and praise and worship. And Lord, I pray that we would go back often to these 15 psalms. That we would read them through, that we would pray them to you, that we would remember the things that we've learned from them and apply those in our hearts. And Lord, as we do, I know that we'll find them to be stepping stones to your very heart, to draw us closer to you, blessing and blessed. Lord, what a wonderful life you have given us in Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Amen.